This is episode number 12 of the Interactive Distractions podcast for the week of February 11th, 2008. Coming up on this week's episode, we've got this week's distractions, gaming news, Jeff has a Dear X letter in regard to collector's editions. For our feature this week, we answer the question, is casual gaming an upswing? And we'll follow that up with new releases, listener email, and the retrospective question of the week.
Welcome once again to another episode of Interactive Distractions. This is episode number 12. I'm your host, 12. We have a dozen now. We have a dozen.
A dozen?
A dozen. Anyway, I am Chris Riccio, and I'm here with Jason A. Stryker.
Hey.
And Jeff Chorney.
Hey.
And we're here to... I don't even know why the fuck we're here anymore. Anyway, we got an interesting show lined up for you, and we'll get into that in a little bit. But first, let's check around and see how everyone's doing. Jason, how you doing?
Dude, I'm doing pretty good. I'm finally getting hair on my leg again after I had it shaved for a tattoo. Yeah, I'm all excited.
Right,
it's all furry and stuff.
Yeah.
Dude, you should post that.
This is cool.
You should post that furry? On VG Evo. I think they'd appreciate that.
Are there any Batman fans on VG Evo?
Oh, you got
there better
Batman
be. If not, we'll have to, you know, knock some sense
convert
into these
them.
People.
All right, I'll see what I can do.
Absolutely.
Now the pre-hair one or the currently hairy version?
Pre-hair.
Okay.
Come on, man.
All right.
It's the zeros, man. People like a shave.
I mean, it's sparse. It's not like thick like bear fur or anything.
All right, we're
anyway,
2 minutes into
good.
This episode. It's already gone to hell.
Derailed. It's what we do.
Yeah, well. Oh, man. Jeff, how you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm doing great. My boss wasn't at work today. I had a lot of time to slack. Didn't really do too much. Now I'm here doing the podcast, talking about stuff I like to talk about, having a beer. Good times.
Well, shit. Life is good for Jeff.
It is at the moment.
Well, Chris, how are you doing?
I'm glad to be doing this right now because my day was kind of shitty at this point.
Really?
So.
Yeah.
Well, don't bring our day down with yours being shitty. So
I'm going to do my best not to. So this is going to be the high point of my day. Scary thought.
Ouch.
Anyway, before we jump into it, I did want to say one thing real quick. I was, you know, browsing around at news this week, and I saw something on 1UP about them being nominated for a Best of Web Award.
Interesting.
And they were actually nominated for Best Podcast or Videocast, or Vodcast, uh-huh. They called it. So I just wanted to recognize them and say congratulations to them for the 1UP show, because personally, I think it's good for everybody out there that does podcasts or videocasts for video mm-hmm. games, because at least they're being recognized as a form mm-hmm. of media out there on the internet.
Exactly.
Because when you look at the rest of the nominees... something from NewYorker.com, Parents right. Magazine, what else? Ellie.com, I don't even know what the hell that is. Business
L.
Week, is it L?
Yeah.
Okay, it's E-L-L-E.
Not that I read it or anything.
Jesus Christ. It's your favorite, I understand. But yeah,
no, it's
so...
It's good to see them on this list. I mean, they have a yeah. super high production value, lots of polish on their show. I hope to one day do something like that. I
yeah.
really do.
Yeah. Their video podcast is awesome. I love
well,
it.
Well, that's what they were nominated for.
It's
for the
really
one-up
good.
Show.
It's written really, really well, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's hilarious. And
they're not the best of actors, but, you know.
Yeah. If it wasn't for 1UP, we wouldn't
charm.
Even know each other. So.
That's true. If it wasn't for 1UP, Jeff
they're
and I wouldn't know each
Indus.
Other.
That's right. Well, they might
never
be an Indus.
Would have came to be.
Yeah.
But in reality, if it wasn't for the 1UP show, I probably would not have gotten into podcasts as much as I did. Because yep. the 1UP show is the first podcast or vodcast that I even paid attention to. And then after that, I looked at 1UP Yours. And then I tried EGM Live. And, you know, EGM Live isn't as good as 1UP Yours. But and then I saw Torgo on the 1UP forums, and he introduced me to the PlayStation Nation podcast. Mm-hmm. And from there, it just kind of exploded. I was, like, downloading all kinds of... Now that's what I do while I'm at work. I'll have that in the background while I'm working. And that's what got us here.
Yeah, I do the same. It's funny because the podcast actually introduced me to like kind of a new, I guess, level of like gaming media in terms of, I remember listening to One Up Your Show. It's the first one I ever listened to. I was like, yeah, it's kind of cool. And then I started listening to the other websites' podcasts, and through that, you get to kind of know the editors more, and you kind of have more respect for who writes what review and whatnot. Whereas before, I just kind of would read the review and be like, all right, well, it's the first guy, same guy who reviewed this game, but who knows what their opinion's really like, right? That was kind of cool. Right. So I pay attention. I'm like, who wrote the review? That person? Oh, that guy's cool. I like his opinion, so, you know, I'll take his word for it.
Right. It's a lot easier to figure out an idea of what a person's opinion is when you're hearing them on a podcast. And
exactly.
And that's kind of, you know, that One Up Show is what kind of got me started in it all. So I just wanted to recognize them and say, good job, guys, and keep it up. And we're going to be on that list next year.
Damn right. Got the champagne chilling in the fridge.
Absolutely. I've already got my t-shirts made.
Can we wear bowling shirts to the award ceremony?
Totally.
I got shoes to match.
But we gotta do the plaid pants thing too.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I have to deck out in total.
They're everywhere in Canada, man. Pick some good pairs for you guys. No, it's like a stereotype, man. Canada and plaid. It's like chocolate and peanut butter. Except fucking, they gotta shoot the guy who invented plaid.
What?
Anyway, moving on.
You guys should wear kilts.
We'll leave that for the Scots.
Okay. All right.
They can have the sheep, too.
Anyway.
That's how many people we can offend in the first 10 minutes.
We're doing a good job so far, I think. On with the show. I'm wondering if I should go first with distractions this time, since I know both of you guys are going to talk about Devil May Cry.
Spoil it for everyone. Why don't
man?
You, Chris?
God
okay,
damn
I can
it.
Edit that out. No big deal.
No.
Yeah.
No, the magic is gone.
Why don't we just start with Devil May Cry now, asshole?
Okay, go ahead.
Proceed with your distractions on the Chris Show starring Chris.
Come on, Chris, who didn't play Devil May Cry.
That's it, I quit.
Thank God.
Wait, is he really gone?
No.
Oh, no.
Oh, okay.
We can only be so lucky.
Yeah. I was like getting ready to take the reins.
Go for it, man.
Torch was bad.
didn't we?
Chris, what have you been playing this week?
This is going to be a short show this week, guys. Oh, I think we have enough content. Sure, let's bullshit for the first 20 minutes.
Stretch it. Stretch.
All right, Chris, go.
We need to be professional here. Come on.
What's distracting you?
Besides us. Well, on PS3, I'm still playing Rock Band. I still haven't actually started playing the solo tour on hard yet, but I plan on doing that soon. So it's been mainly multiplayer for me. I played a little bit of Burnout Paradise.
Cool.
And it's a lot of fun. I haven't really played it enough to form a valid opinion, but so far I like it. And mainly I've been looking around for the all the repair shops and gas stations in the city. But the city is freaking huge, man, and it's, you know, it's a lot of fun. I did notice that on, like, the Road Rage events, it's really easy so far. I mean, it's like the first Road Rage event I came to, it's like, take down three opponents. And I'm like, all right, take down three opponents. Well, so that shouldn't be too bad. By the time I was done, I took down, like, 28. I'm like, good God.
Yeah.
So I don't know if they were just setting the bar really low at first or, you know, just to get you used to it or if it was just that easy. But
Is difficulty in the race and stuff, does that depend on where you are in the city, or is it by depend on how many races you've done in the same kind of like genre? Like,
I'm not sure yet because I haven't really had time to explore everything yet. You know, I've been so caught up in Mass Effect, I haven't really given Burnout the attention it deserved. So, segue. Ding!
I guess what your next game is.
I've also been playing Mass Effect, but I'm almost done with my second playthrough. So after that, I'll probably end up being able to go back to Burnout and play it, you know, playing it more often and get some more stuff figured out. But it is a lot of fun. I mean, the graphics are just freaking amazing, and the sense of speed is ridiculous. I mean,
that is cool.
If you get to a point where you have the boost on the whole time and you're going so fast, you have no idea what's coming around the corner, and it's cool. I definitely suggest it.
Have you played much online at all, or?
I haven't. As I said, I just picked it up recently just so I could say, hey, I played it and it's good, and that's pretty much it.
They gotta add pedestrians to the next one.
Actually, I think there's pedestrians in this one. I can't remember. As I said, I've played it very limited amount. I'll probably have more information for you guys next week, but just wanted to give it a shot and let you guys know.
How are you doing in Mass Effect?
I just finished Vermeer on my second playthrough. So now I have the last area, and I'm level 50 already.
Well,
good lord. Yeah.
So, I'm really pissed about this, and I told Jason this at work today. I'm not playing on hardcore, even though I thought I was. Because I didn't know that there was a difficulty level between normal and hardcore. So I happen to be on veteran, which means I'm not going to get jack shit for it when I'm done.
Oh, that sucks. Just to play it again.
Not right away, man. I need to take a break. It's going to be like, okay, kill Saren next, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, I'm still very much enjoying that. But I'm at level 50, and it's still giving me experience points. So I guess I don't know if it's because I've already beat it once, or if it's because I'm playing on veteran. But I am able to continue to level up after level 50, whereas my first playthrough I was not. Besides that, I've been playing some more. I played some more Guitar Hero. Got one playthrough. I did it on easy just to get all the songs and. Mm-hmm. And get my achievement.
Pussy.
Yeah, pretty much. I got 5 stars on everything and gold stars on most everything. But yeah, the songs get good for one tier. And then they go back.
Which
to
one? Which tier do you like?
The second to last.
Is that the one with
the one with threes and sevens and Disturbing?
Yeah. Yeah, nice.
And then it goes into the death metal, and I've never been into the death metal shit.
So. Do you like the Slipknot song? Because I've noticed a lot of my friends who don't like Slipknot really like the song that they put in Guitar Hero 3.
I actually don't mind Slipknot that much. I think they're pretty good. It's not like I won't go out of my way to see them or to hear them. But you know, if it's on the radio, I'll leave it on.
Mm-hmm.
So. Which one is it?
It's what's it called? I forget.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's actually really their last album was very, very. I'm not gonna say radio friendly, but they used to be known for basically like swearing a shitload and being really heavy. They're still really heavy, but their latest album doesn't have a single curse word in the entire thing, which is took a lot of people by surprise.
They're working on their harnamese.
Yeah, that song's so fun to play, man. Before I Forget and the Disturbed song, I can't remember which one that is. They're so fun to play.
Still haven't downloaded my Foo Fighters pack. I need to do that. But now I'm skeptical because of something that we'll talk about in news.
Okay.
I didn't want to spoil
it.
Oh,
I think I know what you're talking
about. Yeah, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Because I just happen to have 400 points right now, you know? So I could get another 100 points or... Well, actually, no, I couldn't. I'd have to get another 1,000 points or something ridiculous and then do it. But something's coming that's 400 points, and we'll get to that in news. But that's it. That's it for me. So I'm going to let you guys take it. You know, Jason, go for it. Or Jeff, pick one.
Doesn't matter. As long as we... We'll go with Jay, go for it. Take the reins.
Yeah,
take the
reins. My show now, suckers.
Anyway, scary.
No, I haven't played much. Rock Band, go figure. The only other thing that I've had time to play was Devil May Cry, which I picked up.
Yeah! So good.
I was saying that on the inside. I was doing. Yeah. I'm excited. It may not sound like it, but I'm pretty friggin' excited about this game. I wasn't at first, and I think I was just I don't know. I got off my Lost Odyssey kick. I was so looking for like a new RPG, and I lost interest in it. So I'm like, oh, what the fuck? I'll get Devil May Cry.
You lost.
I played the first
Odyssey.
One. I loved it. I didn't play the second one at all. The third one was just hard as shit, and I don't even think I got past the first stage in that before giving it up. But this one I popped in right away, and I played for the next like 4 or 5 hours, like straight. Wow. Couldn't stop.
When you told me where you were, I was like, fuck, you're further than I am. I didn't play for too long, but I was like, damn it, Jay's further than I am? No.
My wife was like, you ready to go to bed? And I'm like,
no.
Yes, honey, and you know... What? Huh?
I'll be right there.
Yeah, exactly.
Hold on.
Yes, I took the garbage out.
A cutscene would come up, and I'd just turn my head completely away from her and focus back on the screen. Like, oops. But no, dude, it's a lot of fun, and it's it's just action packed, and it's I don't want to say mind numbing, but I mean it's just a lot of hack and slash button mashing and stuff. You put in or you get out what you put in. You know, if you really want to get in depth with the combat system, which is phenomenal, by the way, you know, you can get a lot of hours out of this.
Yeah, once you actually know what you're doing.
Play it just as a button masher and just, you know, just kill shit.
Yeah.
That's fine, too. Go for it. But other than those two games, you know what? I have a confession to make. I'm kind of a geek. I don't know if you guys have picked up on this yet, but...
I've known that for a while.
I've been playing D&D for a majority of my
life,
adolescence and adulthood, and, you know, we got a group going together again, but it was a bunch of new players, so the whole pen and paper RPG thing wasn't working out for us so much. So we decided to pick up the old Neverwinter Nights, and we've been playing that every weekend.
they just kind of didn't have the attention span for it, or what?
Well, they're just overly cautious, and they want to do so well, you know? And it took us literally, I'm not kidding, 15 minutes to cross a bridge. I mean, this is at the very start of the adventure, you know? It's not like the DM's going to kill us right away.
Cross the fucking bridge?
They're, like, throwing stones at it and shit, and it's like, it's a bridge. We have nowhere else to go.
We have to test the wind. I throw grass.
That's exactly, how it was. So,
you know,
I made the suggestion. I'm like, well, you know, maybe we'll do Neverwinter
Nights. Let's play some Smash Brothers.
Character. Yeah.
It's funny that you say that because, you know, Crystal used to do a lot of, my fiance used to do a lot of paper pencil RPGs. And, you know, if we still had time, we still would. But her character that she plays the most often, I can't remember the name of her right now, but she made her specifically to be like this gung-ho, always run right into battle without thinking about things character. Because of that fact, it's like they would always sit around figuring out what to do, and she said, you know what, fuck this, and she made a character that always just runs into battle for no particular reason without even thinking about it. So it's entertaining, and she's like, I have no idea how she's still alive.
Well, one of our characters, Alex's girlfriend, you guys have no idea who Alex is or his girlfriend. But anyway, no, she finally, we were all huddled around this door, and, you know, we're like knocking on it and stuff and listening, and everybody's like, I make a spot check. And, you know, they have no idea what they're trying to spot.
Is there
and
any
she
Mountain
eventually
Dew?
Just, she's just like, fuck it. And she opened the door, and, you know, she lasted a good 10 seconds before she died. And yeah, I think that just kind of put everybody off from the whole experience.
You know,
see,
Jeff,
you
I was just
cautious
thinking that
enough.
Jeff, I was just thinking about that too. I cast magic missile.
Why are you casting
to get everybody
magic
geared
missile?
Up for it? Actually,
I'm attacking
I played
the
that
darkness.
Right before we started playing. And we always bring over the Cheetos and the Mountain Dew.
You see an elf with blue eyes. I said I wanted gray eyes.
Well, it says I have blue eyes, but I want gray eyes.
Fine, you have gray eyes.
I cast Morton Kiten's Magical Watchdog.
You can't. That's level...
Oh, man.
Anyway. All right.
Anywho.
That's my week, kids. How about you, Jeff?
Well, I'm going to go right back to Devil May Cry, because I don't think
we gave it
enough time. Because
I know, we will.
It's first of all, I like the game so much, I bought it twice. I'll get more to that when we do our DRX segment, but... I love it. I love it. Sorry, I can't say I loved it, not past tense. So far, it's awesome. And how can I put this? I love Devil May Cry's gameplay, but I can't say I'm a huge fan of the series just because I never played 2. I played 3 probably about halfway through because it was ridiculously hard, even though they had that special edition one they re-released a couple years back. They made it a little bit easier, but it's still freaking hard as hell. And
oh, yeah,
I'm
to, like,
sure...
unlock the easy mode by, you know, dying in 10 minutes?
Basically,
so
something
times,
like that.
Like I did?
Yeah,
Okay.
And then it was still ridiculously hard. And also, 3 was totally cheesy. Like, the first opening scene with him and his shop and the whole pizza and pool cue and balls.
Oh,
okay, Devil May Cry is all about over-the-topness, but that was just kind of too cheesy. I remember I was actually disappointed. I was like, wow, this is... Okay, I guess they're going for a kind of different audience, because 1 was over the top as well, but not that cheesy. So the first thing I noticed in the opening scene for Devil May Cry 4, which is really long, by the way, it's probably like the longest intro, one of the longest intro scenes like ever, over the top, but so badass. It's basically Nero fighting Dante, and for like a good portion of it, and it's just the shit, the choreography of it is just beautiful. It's like just watching like combat ballet, basically. It was friggin' awesome. And the the dialogue wasn't too cheesy. It was a lot of sarcasm and stuff, but it was actually kind of funny.
It was a little more subdued this time around, definitely.
Yeah, exactly.
There are some over-the-top cheesy, like, action moments, though.
Oh, yeah.
Nero, hops on one of the dead scarecrows, pops his sword through him, and, like, revs it up and starts riding around like a damn skateboard. I'm like, okay, all right. I'm not looking right now. Just tell me when the cheese is over.
You could actually do that in Devil May Cry 3. I think you can do it in Devil May Cry 4, too, as well. I think it's one of your abilities you can open up.
Oh, really?
Yeah, at least I remember seeing a video on that. If you download the trailer, yeah, but it's great. It plays a lot more. I think like one, it seems three had a different kind of physics to it, where it still felt good, but it felt like the juggling was a little bit off, so to speak. And but like you said, it's what you put into it. Like once you know the timing of everything, and you can juggle guys for a long time, especially with the new Devilbringer, the arm, when you get the ability to actually pull guys towards you. You can, slash their sword in the air, grab them again from the floor, throw them back down, grab them again, and all before you, hit the ground. It looks gorgeous, too, by the way. It's a great-looking game. I wouldn't put it, in the top, 10 or, maybe top 10, but it's good-looking for a Capcom game. And it runs on the Lost Planet engine. Lost Planet looked gorgeous, too, so.
Mm-hmm. On 360, we still have yet to see what it looks like on
PS3. Well, they just put the demo on the PS3 today, didn't they?
They've had it on PS3
for American store?
It came out the same day. They put up the... Oh, Lost Planet. I thought you meant Devil May Cry. I'm like, what? Devil May Cry came out 2 weeks ago.
Lost Planet demo. I think it came out in... I know it came out in another territory. I didn't know if it came out here or not.
It did. The multiplayer one came out today.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm really liking it. I'm not disappointed at all. I remember playing Devil May Cry 3, and I wasn't disappointed, but the first time I played Devil May Cry 1, I said I needed a PS2. I played the demo at my friend's house. The first time I slash someone up with a sword and start juggling them with ebony and ivory, this game's awesome. And I didn't get that really feeling with Devil May Cry 3 and Devil May Cry 4. I'm kind of getting that feeling all over again, just because I don't know, I can't put a finger exactly what it is. It just seems like
it's the same so far familiar gameplay, kind of, but it does have a little bit of a freshness to it.
Exactly,
a little bit.
And I can't put a finger on what
even
it
though
is.
It's not too far away from Dante.
No, not at all. But yeah, that's pretty much it on the PS3 that I've been playing. 360, I actually tried out Omega 5. Did you guys try that yet? The Xbox Live Arcade game?
Yeah, I thought
that's
it was
pretty cool. I actually liked it. I didn't buy it because I don't know if anyone else has it. I think it's one of those games that would be a lot better two-player. But if people listening, and Chris, if you haven't played it, do you ever play the game Forgotten Worlds?
Yes.
It's very similar to that. That's the first thing it reminded me of. I was like, this is a lot like Forgotten Worlds. And that game was pretty awesome. That was actually a Capcom game too, wasn't it?
Forgotten Worlds?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was.
That was for Genesis, right?
Yeah.
I don't remember.
It wasn't. I'm pretty sure the arcade version was Capcom. Then someone else brought it over to Genesis, because I don't remember ever seeing the Capcom logo when booting it up. But it was pretty cool. I mean, give it a shot if you like kind of like those side-scrolling games. It seemed pretty hard. I was dying quite a bit.
Yeah, but Chris would like this one, I think. The only gripe that I had is that the character models were so huge.
Yeah, that's probably
I'm used to little, Gradius ships on screen, these itty-bitty little things. And these are sometimes the size of that. They're all extremely intricate and detailed and gorgeous, and the effects are wonderful, but that's my only gripe, and it's a small one. The game's still fun.
Yeah, I liked it, and I don't like too many Xbox Live Arcade games. Mm-hmm.
Correct. Sir? It was Capcom.
Was it Capcom? All right, cool.
Yep.
Jeff gets points.
Woo! For all the times I'm wrong, there's going to be at least one time when I'm right. So mark this down on your calendar.
You're just playing the odds, man.
Exactly. You throw enough shit to a wall, someone's going to stick, right? So. And today was my day.
Nice.
After playing all this Mass Effect, I decided to start playing KOTOR again. Knights of the Old Republic.
Oh, cool.
I bought it from a buddy of mine. I'm like, I'm going to give this a try again. And surprisingly, it still holds up. Little complaint though, I'm not sure if it's the emulation on the 360 or if it was like this in the original. I find sometimes when there's dialogue, the sound kind of pops, or some words will kind of be like fuzzy when they're talking. I'm pretty sure it's the emulation because it's done on software. I don't remember the original doing that when I played it on Xbox.
But I thought it was just my burnt copy. I guess not.
It's been a while since I played it, but I don't remember that.
It's been forever. And I was playing it, I'm like, yeah, it's cool. But the only problem with that game is I remember once you became a Jedi, once you went to the Jedi Academy part of it, the game just got totally awesome. But you don't get there for at least 5 hours. And I'm just on that planet Terrace, and I'm just kind of going around. I'm like, eh, if it had the dialogue trees that Mass Effect had, I probably would have kept playing. But I was like, I kind of don't want to go through all these, you know, lines of text. So, played it for a couple hours, though. And I was like, yeah, it's still pretty good. We'll see if I stick to it. I doubt it. That's basically... Oh, I played some NBA 2K8 again. Basketball season and everything. And a little bit of Call of Duty. And that's pretty much it.
You said duty.
I said duty.
I've actually been thinking about going back to KOTOR 2 after Mass Effect, after I'm done with Mass Effect. Because I never played it.
Oh, okay, never mind.
I own it. I've got it sitting in my library of games, and I haven't played it. I'm a horrible RPG gamer.
Same here. I've yet to crack open the second one. It's sitting in our collection, though. It's in our little Cubo games. It's there, waiting for me. But
I have lots of games like that. Final Fantasy XII, for instance. I haven't played that yet. It's sitting in my collection. Yep. Paid full price for it.
Stuff. I was smart and waited. I paid $18 for the collector's edition.
Yeah, I paid $60 for the collector's edition. All right, well, that's it for you guys.
People buy Devil May Cry. Awesome. I'm not even going to play through the whole game. I'm going to say it's a buy. Buy it.
You can't say that to everybody, though.
I know. I guess
there's
not.
A lot of people that are going to be like, oh, it's just the same old, just updated graphics. And you know what? Yeah. They're right.
Well, yeah,
you know
I think
they probably weren't fans in the first place.
Exactly. Yeah, it's not going to make a Devil May Cry hater into a Devil May Cry fan. But if you like games like God of War, Ninja Gaiden, Devil May Cry, get it. It's the default difficulty is not that hard at all. In fact, I think it's a little bit too easy.
Yeah,
it's so I think I'm going to go up because I haven't even died yet, and I think I'm only on like the fifth mission or something. But I expected to at least die on the bosses, even on easy, like the other Devil May Cries. But no, they're pretty simple. So
I am going to get it. I had it in my hands yesterday. And I didn't get it only because I knew, like, I still have no more heroes I'm playing that I need to play, and I have Resistance that I need to finish up. I got Burnout that I need to finish up. I just won Assassin's Creed off of eBay.
Oh, nice!
Yeah, for 360 for $33 shipped. So I got that coming in the mail, and that's another thing I had in my hands yesterday was the DS version of Assassin's Creed. It did actually come out.
That's funny.
Yeah, it did actually come out.
Do you think they're making it sound like a major award's going to make the game any better, Chris? It's not going to happen.
No, I really don't think so. And actually, I'm hearing that the DS one isn't all that great, so I'm glad I didn't pick it up yet. I'm going to wait until I see some more information about it trickle down.
Good idea.
Yeah. Well, cool. All right, guys.
All right. You guys want to hear some news? Or do you have some
ideas? Yeah, Jeff, what's happening this week?
We got some stuff. There's some stuff.
I like stuff.
We'll start off.
Stuff is good.
We'll start off. We'll go back. One of the early PS1 games is going to be ported to the PS3. I'm sure everybody saw this coming, but David Jaffe confirmed Twisted Metal, PS3. No release. Yep.
Yeah.
How did this come about?
Did you hear about how they did this?
I did. I'm trying to play it up for Jeff.
Okay. Go for it, Jeff.
I don't know how it came
out. How did it happen?
Oh, shit.
I don't know. I thought it was just that. I don't know. What the hell? I don't have it pulled up my screen right now. I just have like little details here.
It was actually it was hidden in Twisted Metal Head On.
Oh, that's right. It said PS3, right?
Yeah, it said Twisted for PS3 or something like that.
Yeah.
And okay, that's how they did it. And then people contacted Jaffe and he confirmed it. So
yeah.
That's pretty cool. I still need to get my Twisted Metal. I was at Best Buy yesterday trying to get it, and they didn't have it. So,
I guess it'd be kind of a douchebag move if they called to ask him about it and he denied it. It's like, well, what the fuck? Why is this in the game? I don't know.
I didn't put it there.
Playing a joke. I don't know what you're talking about. But I don't know. But I haven't played a Twisted Metal game in years, since 2, I think.
Yeah, same here. But I do want to get Head On because I liked what they were saying about it.
Check it out.
Yep. And it's $20, man. How do you go wrong?
Exactly. Another... this one, actually, I don't think I put in the notes for you guys because I got this one last minute. But rumor, this is just a rumor, but Team Xbox is reporting that Gearbox might be doing the next Halo game. So we're not talking like a spin-off. We're talking possible Halo 4. Apparently, in an interview, the president of Gearbox had this to say. I started a new project. It's big. It's like, look at our lineup and imagine something even bigger. Kind of big. I'm directing it myself. I can't mention it publicly yet, but when you find out what it is, you'll likely agree that I can't oversell this one. Now, that's just one of the quotes out of the article. Now, people would just be like, okay, whatever. It could be any kind of game. The first thing I actually thought of was maybe Gears of War, because there was that rumor a week ago that possibly Epic isn't, they're not developing Gears of War, that it could be outsourced. So that was the first thing I thought of. It could be Gears of War. But then Gearbox did the PC version of Halo. So it's kind of like they already have Bungie's consent to do Halo. They already know, they already have like the assets. They already know kind of, they've already programmed a game. So their kind of speculation is that with Bungie leaving Microsoft and them basically saying they don't want to do Halo games anymore, at least not for a while, that they could be the ones who's going to be leading the next Halo game. Rumor again, of course.
What has Gearbox done besides porting Halo to PC?
That I'm not too sure about. They've done some Xbox stuff. I don't think they've done anything next gen, though. And I don't think they've done... They did... When Halo came out for PC, that was a while ago. That was like 5 years ago, wasn't it?
The original Halo?
Yeah, they did Halo. It's been a while, I think. Well, I think pretty sure Bungie developed Halo 2 for PC. But, hey, who knows? Something, who knows? All the message boards can go ahead and speculate all they'd like, because that's what we do. That's what they do. We dissect dumb shit. Okay, here's some for all your Nintendo freaks out there. Some Mario Kart Wii details. Actually, I'm excited for this because I love the Mario Kart series.
I do too.
A few details have been announced. There's apparently going to be 32 tracks, 16 brand new, 16 from past Mario Kart games, up to 12 players online through Wi-Fi, 4-player split screen. I'm happy they brought back the split screen because that's what a game you can play split screen and still have as much fun if you're playing online. Apparently there's going to be other different kinds of carts, like kind of motorcycle type things where you can do wheelies to gain speed. But the problem is, of course, if you're doing that, it kind of, they balance it by your turning sucks balls. other things you can do are like tricks in the air. You go off a jump, you can now do tricks and stuff like that. That's just some of the little things there that you can do. Also, they're going to have some Mii incorporation in there. So I don't know if that means you can take your Mii and put them in the cart and drive around as your Mii, which I think they should do, but that might kind of take away the whole theme of Mario characters racing each other, but who knows? Yeah, but... as long as I don't play with the formula too much, I think it's still going to be as good as the rest of them. As long as it's not like Double Dash or whatever. That one.
Well,
I
definitely like the idea of having a 12-player online. That's good.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
That's something that they needed to do, especially if like, especially since the DS one is online. If you made the Wii one and it wasn't online, that's bad news.
Yeah.
Since we've mentioned both of them, did you guys hear about Jaffe's quote last week?
Which one?
He's about a quote to Miyamoto about Mario Kart.
Well, it wasn't to Miyamoto. It was just
it was about Mario Kart though.
Yeah.
Because Miyamoto apparently said, "Why would you make a game with a gun on a car?"
Yeah. I don't think it was Miyamoto that said that. I think it was just somebody, like a general question from the forum.
Like an interview?
Yeah. Or I could be totally off base. Anyway, proceed.
Yeah, because putting a gun on a car is a dumb idea. Who the hell would ever say that? Like, why give a ninja a sword? I don't. It just doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, it was Miyamoto. Apparently when Miyamoto first went to Retro Studios, they were making a car combat game, and he said, why would you make that? Why would you put a gun on a car? And then Jaffe comes back and says, you know, honestly, I've been too busy recently trying to figure out why the fuck go-karts shoot banana peels.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I thought that was entertaining.
See, but, that makes more sense.
I couldn't
sense.
Believe how much flack people gave him for that.
It's like, well, I think that he gets flack just because he's the most outspoken person in the gaming community. I mean, he really is. But, you know, I like him for that, you know, because he says what's on his mind. He doesn't pull any punches. He doesn't sugarcoat shit, you know. So
also look at the audience he would have been insulting, right? That'd be like the Nintendo hardcore, and they are like probably the most rabid out of any fans out there.
Yeah.
Like you They're talk shit about any... Yeah. Jay said it.
You can send all your hate mail, that's fine.
Jason at interactivedistractions.com.
Okay. Moving on. Assassin's Creed going to be ported to the PC. It's going to be labeled the Director's Cut. It's going to be supposed to be coming out in March. One thing they're adding is 4 new types of investigation missions. Now, this pisses me off because that means likely there is these 4 new types of investigation missions probably planned before the console versions came out. And the biggest complaint I have with Assassin's Creed and a lot of other people is that the game got too repetitive too quickly because of the way these investigation missions played out and the fact there was like 4 of them and you had to redo the same 4 every single time. So if another 4 would have made it 8 if they kind of spread those out. Probably would have, you know, more people probably would have got through the entire game, like me, instead of stopping about 6 hours in or so. But hey, you know, PC gamers, once again, you can go play that in your Gears of War, which has more content in it as well. More release dates, Rainbow Six Vegas 2, another March release. Supposed to be coming out March 21st on PC, PS3, and 360. This game is getting hardly any hype from what I got, because Rainbow Six Vegas 1 was amazing. It was a really good game. Did you either guys play it?
No, I didn't.
It was good. Can't say I have, no.
It was good, but this worries me too. It's them releasing a game in March, and it being a big series like Rainbow Six, which has a huge following, I'm just surprised it's not coming out as a more opportune time, like, I don't know, more fall or whatnot. It scares me that it's going to have the same effect that Rainbow Six, the one that came out after Black Arrow. I can't remember what it's called, but it was a big turd, basically. didn't have too much hype. They tried to throw in, like, RPG elements, basically, to it, and it was just, for the online stuff, it was total garbage.
Can I ask
a
question?
Yeah, go what?
Where is this early year drought that we usually have?
Doesn't look like we're going to have one for a while.
I know. There's so much good shit coming out. Like, now Rainbow Six is coming out in March. I mean, March is going to be a huge month. God of War, Crisis Core. I mean, that's all I need, personally. But now Rainbow Six is coming out. And, you know, this month we had Devil May Cry. Next week we have Lost Odyssey coming out. I mean, there's just a shit ton of stuff coming out. Burnout came out at the end of January. I mean, there's no drought. There's usually a drought, and I can start catching up on shit, but I can't.
Yeah, I was looking forward to that. I had, like, my backlog all set up. I'm like, all right, come on, June. And then... Who knows, but at this rate, we're going to have, like, a good game every month for the rest of the year.
That's what it looks like.
You want to hear more? Speaking about March, actually, let's go to March 18th, where the Metal Gear Solid Collection is going to be released in the United States and all of North America for $29.99. You get the original Metal Gear Solid for PS1, Metal Gear Solid 2, Sons of Liberty, but it's actually going to be the Subsistence one, or Subsistence. And then Metal Gear Solid 3 Snake Eater for $29.99. This kind of has me... They didn't say anywhere in the article whether or not they're all going to be like on playable on like PS2 or whatnot. I got the impression that you're getting Metal Gear. It's going to be in the PS1 version. Metal Gear Solid 2 and 3 will be PS2. Now, this makes sense for people who own PS3s or PS2s with the backwards compatibility. What if you're stuck with one of the 20-gig PS3s with no backwards compatibility?
Well, the 20-gig ones have it. The 40-gig ones don't.
Sorry, the 40-gig.
Well, and in reality, this is being marketed as a PS2 game.
Okay.
As a set of PS2 games. So that's right. And all PS2 game, PS2s are backward compatible with PS1 games.
Right? Very true. So, very true.
I don't think there's really much to worry about there. But, you know, if 40 gig owners, you can go and get it, and then, you know, you'll probably be able to play Metal Gear 1.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, no 2 or 3, though. I was kind of hoping for a remake of them, but hey, we can dream.
Yeah, I have Twin Snakes on GameCube. I'm fine with that.
Yeah. For February 11th, on Xbox Live, you can look for 3 more Xbox originals. They're going to be Black, Ninja Gaiden Black, and Sid Meier's Pirates. Which I think is kind of clever. They have a ninja and a pirate game coming out the same day. That's kind of cool. So you can pick those up on February 11th. I think I might get Black. I never played Black, and I hear a lot of good things about it.
Really? Yeah, the destruction of the environments was supposed to be one of the biggest things in that game.
Mm-hmm.
I heard that wasn't. Didn't I hear that Jade Empire was coming out soon?
Or was that this week? There was a rumor. There's a rumor that what was it? Jade Empire. Oh, there's another game that's not backwards compatible right now. That's one everyone's crying for. Oh, what the hell is it? Yeah, they had a few more on there, but they're not. They're supposed to be coming out soon, but it's, I guess they haven't been officially announced. Hmm. But
see, I never played Jade Empire. I don't know if it was any good or not, but
it was decent. I didn't play the whole thing, but I kind of liked it.
Yeah.
From what I played, I just rented it way back in the day.
Hmm. Okay.
And some more Xbox Live downloadable content action here. Mass Effect.
Yes.
First downloadable content, and guess what? If you guys can guess the month, I'll give you a lot of respect.
September.
No, not September. Think big. Then what's March. This new September? What's this year? There you go, Jason. March. The Mass Effect downloadable content is going to be released for 400 Microsoft points, roughly $5. You will get the Bring Down the Sky expansion. Well, if you want to call it expansion. It's basically a new set of missions that... Well, it's one mission line, basically. I'm not sure if there's going to be little side missions or not. But it's supposed to give you about another hour and a half play time, which usually translates into about 45 minutes if you've played a video game in your life. It also brings in a new race as well, a new alien race to communicate with and to probably bring in your party. So you guys looking forward to that? I know I am.
I know I am, too.
And that's probably what's putting back your Foo Fighters pack, right,
Chris? Hey, I just happen to have 400 points left on my account. Maybe I'll save that until next month.
I always hate that, though, when they say roughly how long it's going to be, because it never is that, ever.
Oh, yeah. If they say 90 minutes, it'll take max an hour. Max.
Yeah, exactly. And that's if you're doing, like, everything.
Right. Which is what I do, so.
Okay, now, two more articles here left, guys. Come on. Hang in there.
I'm here. Microsoft. I'm up. I'm awake.
Microsoft drops the price of their HD DVD drive from $179.99 to $129.99.
So yes!
If you still think there's a hope in hell that HD is going to prevail, or if you really, really want Transformers on HD that bad and you can't wait for DVD, I still wouldn't recommend this to you. But you can go and pick it up for $129.99.
I'm leaving right now. I'm going to get one.
And instead of having one jet engine in your living room, you can have two.
Two.
Good point.
So if your 360 red rings and you miss that sound, put in your HD DVD. Because as long as there's power going to that baby, you're going to hear it. So hey, I'm surprised it didn't drop it more. I expected like $99.99 or,
seriously,
you know, get a free HD DVD drive with the purchase of like Lost Odyssey.
Which is with the purchase of any Xbox Live Arcade game.
Exactly.
Please don't buy this, people. Please don't.
I feel bad. I feel bad for anyone who does.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah. Don't buy it.
And please. Another thing that people don't seem to be buying are 360s in Japan, right? It's pretty much dead in Japan. So,
really?
What does Microsoft
do? I thought
do?
It was doing great.
They decide to release their Xbox Live Arcade SKU
Why?
In Japan.
Because it's smart to have more SKUs.
Exactly.
Especially in a country that doesn't want your fucking system.
Or
so
a shitload of downloadable content.
So I don't know. Do they expect to build houses out of 360s in Japan or something like that? Because why are they shipping all these over there? Like, okay, this one didn't work. This one didn't work. Let's give them another one. They're really gonna love fucking the Pac-Man Champion Edition. Like, they probably would.
Wait,
actually.
Is that the one that's bundled?
It does
in?
Come
that,
with
like
it, yeah.
Uno.
Yeah, it comes with like Uno Champion.
Well, that makes Pac-Man. It all better then. I mean.
Yeah.
Shit.
No. Totally. Yeah. It definitely does. It's gonna sell through the roof. Look out, Wii. But yeah. So yeah, who gives a shit, right, guys?
Who gives a shit?
And yeah, that's it for news. That's pretty much it. Actually, you know, there's one more thing. I'm just going to throw one more thing in there.
Oh,
just because Chris whined and moaned, complained you really want to listen.
Oh, fuck you.
For all you people out there who give a rat's ass, Sony cut the dev kits for PSP in half. That's all for news.
Awesome. Wait, that's all we get?
That's all you get.
That's how much is it going to be, Jeff?
I don't know.
I don't think
I'm going to throw a number out there.
$18.
PSP. No, I'm going to say it's probably a lot. I'm going to say around 4,000.
Don't just throw numbers out of your ass here, newsman.
Yes.
I want hard, cold facts.
I'm just throwing the numbers out there because I didn't print off that
geeks
actual
like me want to know.
That's right.
Well, how much is it, guys? Did you guys look?
I don't know.
Was I close?
We were relying on you for this shit, Jeff.
I know, but I was like, seriously, none of us are developers. And
hey, what?
What?
Well, okay, you guys are. You guys are programmers to be. Well, you're programmers now.
None of us are developers. Wait, what do you think I do?
Okay, by none of us, I meant me, okay? I'm the news guy.
None of me are developers.
Look how many people ran out and bought PS3 dev kits when we said that on our show. but if you guys actually cared, you'd know how much they are. Unless, Chris, you're going to say how much it is, aren't you?
No, they didn't say.
Oh, that's what I meant. That's why I couldn't find it, because they didn't mention it.
Uh-huh.
And that's all for news!
I did hear some news that brings evidence to one of my predictions possibly coming true.
What's that?
Apparently IBM has completed the 45-nanometer cell chip.
Oh, yeah, that's right, too.
And it's like, they just put the 65-nanometer in. I mean, they're really going fast on this chip.
Yeah.
This is for the PS3, right?
Yeah, yes, for the PS3. And so, I mean, that's a good sign to people that are waiting for the price to continue to drop. I mean, I really think it's going to drop another $100 this year.
I think it will, too.
Yeah.
But so will everything else, except for Wii.
No, they'll drop the 360 another $50. And that's it.
Yeah, I can see that.
All right. Well, you guys, why don't we take a break? Stay tuned, and we'll be back in a little bit. We're going to have a DRX by Jeff, and then we have our feature, which is casual gaming on an upswing, and then new releases and user email. So stay tuned, and we'll be right back. It's time to wake up. Well, we didn't have anything to put in this spot that was new, so I'll leave you with this.
Chocolate meat.
That is all. Welcome back.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Smoke. Did you have your smoke?
Smoke.
It was good.
I did. I'm trying to quit. It's not really working too well. You guys drive me to smoke. I'm sorry.
Hey, don't blame that on me, man. I don't smoke.
I know. Much. It's just easier for us to blame the non-smokers. Okay, sure. It's not making shit
always,
up. Let's go.
Always someone else's fault. Just never take responsibility for yourself.
That's right. We're not, if I can't blame other people, I'm blaming tobacco companies. It's one or the other.
I just like smoking.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
So Jeff has a DRX letter for us this week. Jeff, you wanna take over and?
I do. My DRX is actually Dear Game Publishers. And it's regarding the flood of limited edition games we're seeing over the past few years now, how it seems to be the trend. So here I go.
This should be good.
Don't hold your breath. Okay. Dear publishers. Okay, you ready?
Yeah.
Okay. Dear publishers. Okay, first off, I'd like to say, I understand that game development costs have been on the rise and are currently at an all-time high, and you guys want to do all you can to bring in the money. And that's all fine and dandy, but please, please, please stop with the bullshit limited editions of games. I have to admit, they started off cool. We get some behind-the-scenes stuff, and maybe get a cool art book or a poster, but because it worked a couple of times, doesn't mean it's going to work forever, especially now that games are already $10 more than last gen. Oh, and what the fuck is up with the new limited edition tins? These are the worst things ever made. Not only are they ugly and cheap-feeling, I have to store them outside of my regular DVD rack on another shelf where their peers point and laugh at how fat and clumsy they are. Please, if anything, bring back the slick DVD size cases with a metallic finish. It seems a lot of games last gen did this without a problem. Standouts would include Halo 2, Splinter Cell Chaos Theory, and Final Fantasy XII. Since when are you guys letting Prey start a trend? Prey was the
Ouch.
First game with that. It was, yeah.
Ouch.
Okay, but if you refuse to stay away from the weak sauce tins, please give us something we actually want. Take an example from 2K Boston and Bioshock. It came with a soundtrack, a making of DVD with art, and a freaking 6-inch Big Daddy figurine that is actually worth something if we decide to sell it on eBay, or we can display it on a table or desktop to show off to all of our friends how cool we really are. Oh, and sorry, Ubisoft, that tiny little Altair figure that can barely fit into my cat's butthole doesn't count.
Just barely fits in there, but it fits.
I don't want to know if you tried. And remember, simply throwing in the making of YouTube video won't cut it anymore. Or, in fact, even do without the pocket-sized art book we seem to be getting that we look at once, forget about it, and then leave it at that. Hell, even Capcom got it half right after the blunder that was the Lost Planet Limited Edition. With Devil May Cry 4, it does come with the complete Devil May Cry animated series Volume 1, which is 4 episodes, and worth the money. Sure, it also comes with that rest of that tripe that you guys throw in there, but hey, it's a good step in the right direction. Oh yeah, and it also comes with, sorry, I totally screwed that up. Anyway.
Beep.
There you go. Try to give us something exclusive, or at least timed exclusive. And new maps for multiplayer games, extra playable characters, or how about an even older version of the games that you guys seem to be rehashing and putting out anyway? Like, for instance, it would be cool if, say, Bionic Commando came with the older version of Bionic Commando. That'd make sense, and with the price of downloadable games these days on Xbox Live and Virtual Console, it would just make sense. Another thing that really pisses me off is why the hell do you call them limited edition when they are no way limited? Hell, I saw a brand new Halo 2 limited edition at a store the other day. I'm at the point where I walk into an EB and the clerk tries to tell me if I don't pre-order a limited edition version of a game, I will never get one. So then, of course, I begin to cuss him out as well as his family. You think it's really fair for this poor EB clerk? Actually, you know what? Don't answer that question. But for real, Bungie, I'm primarily looking at you. Legendary Edition Halo 3, give me a break. More like a legendary raping to my wallet. I heard you guys mention it multiple times on your podcast, as well as others, saying that they would indeed be limited, and if you didn't get one on release, you'd have to pay a hefty price on eBay. Fuck you! I not only spent a hefty price on the retail for this tripe, I spent a ton of humility on myself when people ask why I bought the damn thing to begin with. Especially now you can find the thing everywhere for $20 more than the regular limited edition, which, mind you, comes in one of those piece of shit mini lunchboxes. Limited edition, my asshole. Now my totally radical Master Chief midget your cat helmet doesn't make me feel special anymore. Well, it does, only if by special I actually mean retarded. I know if I knew I was one of the few thousand or so that had it, I'd feel a lot more comfortable with my geekdom. Okay, I'm not saying stop with the limited edition games, but please, for Mario's sake, give us something worth our $10. And please go back to the souped-up DVD cases. Seriously, it's getting insulting. Especially now some publishers are putting things on a DVD we've already seen either on TV, gaming websites, or fucking YouTube, for crying out loud. And then you label it limited edition? We're obviously willing to support you and your games by wanting limited editions in the first place. Now please show us some damn respect in return and make us feel like you really want to make us happy by spending the extra cash. And not just shoveling shit on a disc and saying, meh, people will eat this shit up. Okay, now back to playing my limited edition version of Devil May Cry 4. Yours truly, limited edition Jeff.
Limited edition Jeff.
That's right, they had to pay an extra $5 for that letter. But that's something that's been bugging me about. Like, I'm one of those guys who has to have the collector's edition. I don't know what it is, and after the last few years, I'm starting to feel a little bit ripped off. And what do you guys think?
I've definitely been picky and choosy as to which ones I get. The most recent ones I've got, Devil May Cry, Unreal Tournament 3, and Final Fantasy 12. Yeah. Those are really the big ones that I've gotten lately, and they've been worth it. You know, I try and do my research to find out what's inside the box before anything. Because they really can rip you off, you know? Yeah, a lot of times they are just packaging in, like, a behind-the-scenes or a making-of, which you can pull up on fucking YouTube and watch.
Yeah.
You know, why would I pay $20 more for a DVD that's just going to give me some, you know, pandering, you know, interviews with the creators? And I don't know. I need them, if they're going to make it a collector's edition, make it fucking collectible. Make it something that I want to display, that I want to collect, that I want to be proud to own.
Yeah. Something that's limited. That's what Bioshock got it right, like 2K Boston. That Big Daddy figurine, you can sell that on eBay for more than you paid extra for the actual game. And it's cool to look at.
Yeah, that was a great pack-in.
And the stuff that came in the actual disc is cool. Like, it had those remixed Moby songs from the old-school 60s songs for that era. It was good. Yeah. And like I said at the beginning of the show, I bought Devil May Cry 4 twice because I wanted the limited edition. And I usually shop at this shop right below an EB Games called Gamerama. And I was on there. I was like talking to them. They're like, oh yeah, we're gonna get the first of all, okay, sorry, first of all Tuesday, so the 5th. I walked by there and they had a big sign saying, Devil May Cry 4 is come early February 5th, blah blah. So I'm like, oh cool, they should have it. So I'm on my way to work. I walk in there, like, do you guys have Devil May Cry 4? Like, oh no, we're getting in later today. I'm like, okay, cool. So they give me a call later. They're like, oh, your Devil May Cry 4 is in. I'm like, okay, is that the limited edition? And he's like, oh, no, it's not. It's the regular edition. We're getting limited editions in tomorrow. So I'm like, okay, you know what? I'm just going to wait. So if I go a day without playing, I'm like, no big deal. As long as I have it before the show, that'll be pretty cool. So I go the next day after work. I'm like, limited edition Devil May Cry? They're like, no, we're not getting them until tomorrow. I'm like, fuck. I'm like, you know what? I have nothing to do tonight. I want to play it. I'll just get the regular edition. That's fine. So I pay for it, walk upstairs. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to check EB because usually the EB around my area doesn't get things in before the Gamerama, because little tidbit out there, Gamerama will sell something the second they get it, so they break street date all the time. You know what I'm saying? Keep it on the down low.
Yeah.
So I'm like, maybe they don't have it because the guy at Gamerama was saying the game's actually not supposed to go on sale until Thursday. So I'm like, whatever. So I walk up to EB, and of course, there it is looking at me. I'm like, oh. You know what?
Damn it.
I'm just gonna buy it. If worse comes to worse, I will I'll just trade
it
back
to some
in.
Sucker.
I'll sell it to somebody, or I can bring it back to Gamerama for store credit because there's tons of games coming out. I can just use it towards that. But I did sell the regular edition today. Right when I walk into work, I sold to a girl at my work, so it took about 10 seconds. So that was kind of cool. But I was overall the anime from Devil May Cry 4, I think, saved it because somebody on VG Evo, I'm pretty sure it was Jared from the PlayStation Nation podcast. I could be wrong; it might have been somebody else. Basically, said this DVD is worth $20 in the first place, the first volume of the Devil May Cry anime. So that kind of makes it worth it right there. But other than this, is the first one in a long time I've actually felt justified buying it.
Really?
Because Lost Planet was terrible.
If it did not have this DVD inside, it would have been utter shite. I'm not kidding.
The
bonus
sure.
disc that I got that had the making of, it had the artwork, it was all on one CD, and it was inside of like a Flash app. It's not like they had like full resolution artwork or anything like that. They didn't even have an art book.
Yeah, and you had to
they
look
had
at that
just
on
just a
PC,
handful
right?
of... Yeah, it's ridiculous. Yeah.
They why, had, do,
like,
why do they
chat
do that?
Icons and backgrounds, and I was fully expecting a full soundtrack. For this, you know, they advertise a game soundtrack. You expect, like, you know, full, like, maybe 15, 20 songs. Hell, 10 songs I'd be happy with. Instead, they gave us 5.
Yeah.
You know?
I think it's bullshit. Yeah. Sorry, go ahead. I was going to say, I think it's bullshit. They have to use a PC to get half the shit. That's stupid.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, technically you could pop it into your PS3, probably. It'll show up like a data disc, and you can navigate it, but...
Hmm. But I remember Lost Planet.
Yeah, it was 5 tracks. They weren't even labeled. If you dig through the disc, you'll find the MP3s, but they're labeled like MP3 1, MP3 2. Mm-hmm. There's no MP3 tags on them or anything. It's just bullshit. I was disappointed.
At least it came with the good cases, though. For those of us like the 360 version is the standard DVD case, metallic. It's wicked. The artwork on the front is awesome and the back.
And oh, yeah, I'm going to throw out the sleeve to it. Seriously, the artwork on the actual metal tin. Gorgeous.
It's great.
Very
and
good.
It's and the PS3 one's obviously the same thing, but it's in the standard Blu-ray size case.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean well, I liked only... it when you go ahead, Chris.
I was gonna say the only collector's edition that I've even bought this generation has been, in my opinion, the one that was well, either the best or the second best, because if you count Bioshock was a really good one.
Mm-hmm.
But in my opinion, the best value, for collector's edition that there has been this gen, and that's Stranglehold, because it came with the freaking movie on.
Oh,
there.
That's right.
You know, because I got the PS3 version, and it came with a high def version of. Why is it slipping my mind now?
Hard boiled.
Thank you. Yep. Came with the movie, so I think that one was easily worth it, especially considering nobody bought it, so the price went down really fast, and I got it for $40.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
See, that's an awesome tie-in. That's our package. So.
Yeah, it's good. I liked him at first. Like, I thought the Halo 2 one was good. It was actually a good case. It had the whole sleeve thing and everything. And then it kind of went downhill for a bit. And I hate those big tins. Like, the one that Gears of War came in, Prey, and...
Yeah.
Forza,
those
I think,
are retarded.
Those big, fat, like, I want all my games together. I don't want to have to walk into a different direction to get my games. And... if I'm having that moment where I'm like, what game do I play? I don't want to look one way, then be like, oh crap, I have to move my neck this way to look at this different section of games. I'm lazy.
You know what? The what case stuff. Really pissed me off? The Viva Pinata one?
I was just going to say Viva Pinata.
That one doesn't even fit with the rest of everything.
No.
You know, it's not even the same shape or anything. I don't know.
Isn't it made of like puffy plastic?
I think, yeah, it is.
Is it plastic?
Yeah.
I think so. It's like a puffy.
It looks like tin, anyway.
I don't know. It might be tin, actually.
Hey, how much was the Legendary Edition when it came out of Halo 3? The Legendary Retarded Edition.
Yeah, the Legendary Raping. 149? No, 159? Something like that. It was
really?
Quite a bit. I kind of exaggerated in my letter. I actually didn't pay cash for it, but I did because EB had a deal of trade in six games.
It.
I got it for free. But the fact is, I traded in six games, which two of them I regret trading in. One of them was Crackdown.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's one of the best 360 games out.
I know. I was so stupid. I was like, you know what? I want this thing. I don't want to pay money for it. And I actually thought it was going to be limited because Bungie said on their podcast it's going to be limited. And this isn't even Bungie. Other podcasts I listened to, they were talking to me like, oh, yeah, this is going to be really limited. They're going to number each thing, which they did. But they didn't tell anyone there's going to be literally like a million of them out there. And you can pick them up now so cheap now at stores because they're taking up space. And now I'm actually pissed. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, I would never sell it on eBay. But just to know I had something that was actually worth something, you know, it looks cool and everything, but it's definitely not worth the price they sold it for. But
Jason, how much was it here when it first came out? Wasn't it like 140?
I was thinking 130, like it was 129 for whatever reason.
Yeah. I saw one at Best Buy.
No interest in it, so I wasn't really paying attention. So.
Yeah. I saw it at Best Buy yesterday, and it was still 129.
Really?
Oh, really?
So, yeah.
Because I saw someone, it might have been Game Ram, and they might have been just trying to liquidate them or something, but they were cheaper. A lot cheaper. And you can definitely pick one up on eBay for a lot cheaper.
Yeah.
Well, it makes sense that it would be more expensive in Canada than here. So if it was 150 there, that makes sense.
Actually, I think it was. Video games usually are about equal now. How much is if you're to buy a 360 PS3 game, how much are they?
$60.
Yeah, same here. Okay. They were 70, but they since the dollar and everything, the last year and a half, the average one's $59.99.
Okay.
By the way, Jeff is from Canada.
Canada, eh? But yeah, that's just my rant of limited editions. Like, the thing is, I'm still a sucker for them, and if it's a good game, I want. Also, another thing I didn't put in my letter was, what's with these games that no one cares about having limited edition versions?
Like, I don't understand why Lost Planet had one.
Neither do I.
Yeah.
And that was one of the worst ones ever. It had a shitty cover art. It came in one of those metal cases, but it was shitty cover art. And the extras were nothing. Like, and you had to basically use your PC to get at them. So I just basically went to work one day, and my buddy bought it. I'm like, I'll trade you. He's like, all right. So I got the regular one, and yeah, gave him the limited edition one.
Yeah, I picked up the regular version of that. I used to be the person that picked up the limited edition all the time.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, when Symphony of the Night came out for PS1.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, yeah, that one's a must-buy.
Well, it didn't have a special edition here in America.
Okay.
But in Japan it did. And I bought that one. And it came with like an art book and a music CD and all that shit. And that was awesome. Because, favorite game of all time. So,
speaking of Castlevania Limited Edition, one of the best limited editions I've bought in a while, Portrait of Ruin.
Oh, absolutely.
So awesome.
Yeah, well, that wasn't a special edition, though. That was a pre-order bonus, wasn't it?
No, it was it might have been.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a pre-order bonus.
I went through hell with EB about that because I pre-ordered it from them and they didn't give me I didn't get my pre-order bonus.
Really?
From them. Yeah.
It's so good.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I actually went out and I bought it off of eBay and then returned the game to them.
Oh, nice.
So.
Cool. Yeah, it's actually really
Got the Unreal Tournament 3 on the PC just because I've been tempted to play around with mods and stuff. I'm like I'm trying very hard to get into like 3D modeling right now, and I think this would be a good place to play around. But you have to get it on PC if you want the engine, but it also comes with like 20 hours of like training videos in this collector's edition. I'm like, that's probably worth it right there.
Yeah, absolutely.
See, that's a cool bonus.
Yeah, it's not some, you know, YouTube videos, is it?
No.
Chances are you're not going to find those on YouTube.
They're standard def, but I'll deal. Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Well, cool. Thank you, Jeff. That was awesome.
That was good.
Thank you.
Yeah, special edition. If you really want me to be retarded, that's how I meant special.
That was my favorite one.
Yeah, that was special.
That and the Altair figurine in the cat's ass was good.
I actually pre-ordered that Assassin's Creed limited edition one, and it was just so funny because I went into EB to pick it up, and the guy's like, he put it on the counter, and I realized it was one of those big fat tin things again, which at the time I didn't realize it actually had the real DVD case inside of it. So I just basically, when I walked in, the other clerk was like, so we don't have any? And then he's like, no, dude, they're all on pre-order. He's like, oh, what the hell? So he's using the phone to call people. And then I'm like, oh, I'm just gonna get the regular edition. I can cancel this one. And he was actually calling other stores. He had an extra limited edition because he wanted it so bad. So I should have just bought it and charged him. But, oh well.
Well, cool. Why don't we move on to the feature? Is casual gaming on the upswing? The answer is yes. On to new releases.
Yes. Let's do it. It's coming
out. Thanks for tuning in.
Are video games fun? Next
question. Well, why don't we... do you guys want to try something different and start with the question of the week emails that we got?
Ooh. Yeah, let's do it up.
You want to shake it up, Chris?
Hell yeah, man.
I don't like change. I'm a 45-year-old working in a corporation.
Well, this is good because we actually got a few different emails for the question of the week, so I was happy about that.
Cool.
We'll stick off, or not stick off, we'll start off with our resident Ricky Duty. He's our buddy.
We just have him as our fourth chair.
I'm thinking so at this point. Not only that, he's really upset that we're making him shorten his emails.
Oh.
In fact, his first line says, shorter emails break my heart, why don't you?
And yeah, thanks for writing in, Ricky Duty. Next email.
This is what entertains me the most about this email, because I read this too. Normally, when I get Ricky's emails and I read them, they're like four really long paragraphs. This one is four lines.
You can tell that they're not even real sentences. They're not full sentences. like they're two words for like health reasons. Blah, blah, blah.
Ricky, I said shorter emails, not like.
No punctuation.
All right. Well, Ricky goes on to say, I think casual gaming is rising with the release of the Wii and games like Rock Band. In my case, I've noticed that I've become more of a casual gamer. I rarely ever play games for hours. Instead, I play games for like 30 to 45 minutes and I'm done. The only game I play for hours is Rock Band, but I don't play it every day. I wish I could. I just can't. Health reasons. But yeah, casual gaming will rise more with more Wii games coming out, so I'm not surprised.
See, I want to know what these health reasons are.
Yeah.
What's that about? Ricky, is there something you're not telling us? Are you feeling all right, man? Because, you know, we need the weekly emails from you. Because God knows that there's only like four or five listeners that regularly send us emails right now. Right. But he brings up a good point in this email that, you know, I didn't think about it until he mentioned it. And it makes, you know, perfect sense. And, you know, now I'm thinking about it, it's like, well, duh. But things like Rock Band and Guitar Hero, they are casual games. And they can be. They can be for the casual gamer and they can be for the hardcore gamer. And I think that's something that's happening recently that's a good thing for the gaming as a whole.
Yeah,
and that's definitely something that kind of categorizes casual games as its ease of accessibility. You know, how easy it is to just pick up and play, and put down, for the most part.
Right.
You know, and a lot of the stuff in the Wii is like that. And yeah, Rock Band's a good example too. You know, it's just fun for anyone to just sit down and drum or play guitar. Or, you know, especially sing. Anyone can do that. Not very well, but you know, they can still do it. So, but yeah, very good point.
Yeah, thanks, Rick. All right. What else we got?
We got one from Rob. Chris, you know Rob, right?
Yeah.
From the UK, isn't he?
From the UK?
Yeah. Hey, guys, first off, good job with the show. I love listening to you guys when I'm supposed to be working, so cheers for getting me fired sometime in the not-too-distant future. You're welcome. On the subject of casual games, I feel that as the gaming audience gets older, casual gaming is becoming the easiest way to indulge in the hobby of gaming as a whole. Because, let's face it, we have considerably less time on our hands than when we were kids. I concur.
Agreed.
As a result of our evolving needs, the gaming industry itself has evolved to fit our new needs, and I feel that the future is like that of many MMOs, where they help people who only play casually with increased XP, so they don't lag quite so far behind their hardcore brethren. That's true. As an end result, we're going to see the continued increase of casual games and giving so-called hardcore games a casual element in them, thus covering all their bases, as the Americans might say. Hope this wasn't too long, and I look forward to hearing the next show.
No, Rob, it definitely wasn't too long. That was perfect.
That was perfect.
This is, I mean, he makes another good point about just not having enough time. I know, Jason, I know that you're in that situation as well.
Oh, shit.
And yes. I think all of us are.
Oh, yeah. And it's not even just the fact that we're getting older, we don't have time. It's some days when, let's say, I don't go to work one day or I have a day off, I find if I'm playing a video game longer than, say, 2 hours, I feel like I'm not wasting my day, but I feel like there's more productive things I could be doing, or right. I could think so. It's kind of like I force myself to take a break. I can no longer sit down and play a game unless I'm totally immersed in it for hours upon hours. Just like like Ricky Duty said, I can't do it anymore. It's like I'll have to take a break for a bit, go back, play a couple hours, whatever. But it's no longer like when I was like younger and I could just put in a game and play it like beginning to end in like a 6 hour sitting. It just doesn't seem to happen anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm the same way, and it really shows on weekends more than anything, because on the weekend, that's the only time that I ever have to, you know, get stuff done, like go shopping and, you know, do whatever I have to do. And I find myself, like, I always get up before Crystal does, so I'll come downstairs and I'll play something while Crystal's still sleeping. As soon as she wakes up, you know, we'll do whatever we have to do and get ready, and we'll go out, get everything done, and then come back. And then I don't feel bad about playing games in the afternoon because I've already got all my stuff done.
Yeah, that's like what I do too. Like if I have something to do a day when I have a day off or on the weekend, I make sure I do it first, and then I'll come home and play games, and I don't feel as guilty.
Right.
That's usually the best time for me to game. Which
what
is another reason why.
Point?
I was going to quickly say, it's probably another reason why I don't play too many RPGs or finish too many RPGs or adventure games, because when I play those games, I like to make sure I have about a 2 hour window to play it. Without being interrupted, and that's so rare that I just tend to not play the game for a week or two, and then just my interest is all gone.
Yeah,
I'm lucky in the fact that my wife loves to sit down next to me and just watch. You know, she doesn't get into playing so much, but she loves watching. You know, especially anything that has a storyline, she'll totally get into it. So that is great. But what do you think of his point that companies are going to be kind of putting more casual elements into hardcore games?
This scares me.
Of any examples that scares you?
Yeah, it scares the hell out of me, because a lot of people are saying, okay, yeah, it's good to have casual gaming being so popular because it's bringing more people into gaming. It scares me because of us hardcore gamers, or once were hardcore gamers, by the way we're talking, I'm afraid that these developers are going to rely too much on the casual market, and actual gaming is going to take a step back as opposed to going a step forward. One, because of price, because if the market isn't there for the hardcore gaming to actually for them to make money, and that fact that prices are so high right now to develop like a high-end game, and they can easily throw together something, throw it on the Wii, throw it on the DS, and at this point throw it even on the PS2 to some extent, and they're going to make money. If they stop doing that primarily to fund their, so let's say, blockbuster titles, then that does scare me. If they start to rely more on the casual market, then the people that play games to play games as like their number one hobby. Like, I would still call it my number one hobby, even though I don't play games as much as I used to. It's still, when I have downtime, I'd much rather play a video game than watch TV or watch a movie. That's for sure.
Sure.
Well, I don't think he's saying that it's going to be something that's going to affect the market in that such a way. I mean, he mentions WoW, and that's a
He mentions
MMOs and playing casually with increased XP, and WoW did this, but they did it for they increased the XP up to level 60 or something like that, but then to get from 60 to 70 or whatever their level cap is now, I think it's still 70. It goes back to, you know, being more difficult, so the casual player can still keep up with the hardcore player. But the hardcore player is still the one that's going to benefit the most because they're putting in the time to get to level 70. And it benefits hardcore, too, because, you know, it's how long does it take to make a character on get to level 70 or whatever? You know, turn around and say, oh, I want to make another character. I want to be X. I want to be a hunter. Roll a hunter. Sorry, I had to say that. I don't know why. John will appreciate that. But, you know, say you want to make another character. Well, I would be much less likely to do that, you know, the way it was. But now that they've increased the experience points up to level 60, you know, I'm more likely to make a new character. And then, you know, I'll get to level 60, and then it'll be back to that hardcore element where I'm playing those 10 levels at a hardcore level.
Well, seeing as that's where the split, though, happens, where a lot of hardcore gamers now are starting to resent the casual market and the casual upswing in gaming, because if it gets to the point where they're gimping the games to make it equal on all levels, I don't know if that's right. Like, it's like the old argument, PC versus consoles versus first-person shooters. Like Shadowrun, you can play PC players, PC players play console players. They dumbed down the aiming system with even a keyboard and mouse. They slowed it down so it wouldn't be that much of an ass raping when console players went up against PC players. And you get to the point where, okay, well, why is the person who is, say, better skilled in a certain way handicapped because of this other market? You know what I mean? Like, people are complaining with Devil May Cry 4 how they made it way too easy on the default difficulty, and that could be because of the casual market. Apparently Ninja Gaiden 2 is also going to be dumbed down quite a bit on the default difficulty, so you can look at it as a good thing because, yes, more people will play the games, but people who have been fans of the series who like the games for that difficulty might be turned off. And I can see where the resentment comes. It's like, even in World of Warcraft, like, people will be like, I spent so long getting my character to 70, now this new dude who's never probably played the game in his entire life gets there in half the amount of time.
Well, they can quit their bitching, because they're the same type of people that are just going to re-roll another character.
And, oh, for sure. I'm not saying
spend,
it's right.
You know,
I'm saying,
you know, 3-4 weeks getting the next character up to level 70. I don't know.
Yeah, all those people already have all their epic gear and all that shit. So, I mean, those are the, you know, as Jason said, they're just going to be like, oh, well, that makes me more inclined to roll another character and do it again.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think it goes both ways. I do see your point.
Time, but yeah.
Yeah. There will be some bitching going on, but it still benefits them too.
No, it benefits everyone in the long run. I'm just saying that's what people will say. That's what people will argue.
I mean,
I don't care. I'm glad they made Devil May Cry easier, because I never beat Devil May Cry 3.
Right, and so. See, I think that's why they made it easier, because there were so many people complaining that Devil May Cry 3 was so hard. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I haven't played it yet, and it's one of those other games that's sitting on my shelf that I want to play. But, you know, that's what I hear from everybody, is that it was so difficult and they couldn't beat it and all this other crap. So I think that Capcom heard that feedback and made Devil May Cry 4 an easier game. But they still have the increased difficulties on there, right?
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah.
So for those hardcore gamers that want to challenge themselves, they can do that.
Okay.
And same, I think this, it'll be
to
the
strike a balance. Yeah.
Right. Okay. They're trying to satisfy the casual gamer and the hardcore gamer at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let me pose a question here, because everyone, the Wii, a lot of people blame for bringing the casual market. What do you think about last E3 when Reggie Fils-Aimé, president of Nintendo, went up on stage for E3 and their biggest announcement was Wii Fit? To me, if I was a hardcore Nintendo fan, I would have taken that like a punch in the face. Like, you're at E3, so we're announcing these big games, hardcore games. Like, I want games. And their big thing was Wii Fit. And also how many consoles they've sold across the world, and how many grandmas and aunts and uncles and babysitters bought this system. And
it's
this
proof positive that the Wii is not a hardcore gamer machine.
It's not. You know? But this is where it scares me, is because if they continue to do so well and casual games continue to sell this way, like, when you look at the top-selling Wii games, they're not the games you'd think they would be, well, minus Mario Galaxy. But there's some crappy games that are up there. And if other developers are doing this for, say, PS3, 360, I think you guys would be pretty pissed.
True.
I don't foresee that ever happening to, like, the 360 or the PS3.
I don't either.
And I also do not see Nintendo ever straying from traditional, you know, Nintendo games, like Mario title or Mario Kart or anything like that, or even Zelda games. I don't think they're going to stop doing that sort of thing, because there is such a huge base. But they definitely are targeting, you know, a wide variety of people, and that certainly is their focus. And if people are, you know, feeling like they're getting punched in the face, I don't know why they're putting so much favoritism into, you know, one particular brand, you know. Mm-hmm. Maybe they're just fanboys. I don't understand.
Okay, because I could also go into, this is one of my theories too, is why Nintendo isn't fixing up their online, is because how many people are playing the system online? Why aren't they adding voice chat? I think it's because they know they don't need to put that in to satisfy the hardcore gamer anymore, because they're going to do just fine if they just target the casual market.
Well, yeah, I don't think there's any disagreement that Nintendo has basically turned their cheek from the hardcore gamer. Right. I mean, I don't think anybody will argue with that. Actually, Jason, this might be a good time to read that last email.
Speaking of the animosity between, you know, hardcore gamers and casual gamers, we have a letter from Nabo. He doesn't even get an introduction. He just says, "Casual gamers can kiss my ass." He's like, "All right."
Nabo,
so casual...
Nabo likes to speak his mind, and he doesn't care who he offends about it.
Yeah. God bless him for that. Okay. So casual gamers, you mean the tards that are 90 and play Wii bowling or handhelds? Or how about the 90-year-olds with handhelds? Well, it sure isn't the PSP. It isn't Peggle or anything that we consider a casual game. Stupid terms. So not casual, but the games that take minimal time to enjoy or games where you play them in spurts is a rising form of how to play games. I don't care who you make the game for, your target audience or whatnot. But the fact of the matter is, I have less time to play because of life. I play every game in sports. Hell, I'm what the media calls a casual gamer. But the thing is I'm playing MotorStorm for an hour at a time. I'm not playing Peggle. Damn, I'm pissed. Enough talking. Yes, Peggle on Steam is a Team Fortress 2 shindig to it.
What?
Why do you know that? If he hates Peggle so much.
Well, I think he makes a good point. He's basically turning MotorStorm, which is more, I mean, I would think it would be considered more of a hardcore gamer type of game, into something more casual where he's only, you know, he might only play it for an hour at a time. Mm-hmm. And I do that too. I was talking to Jason about it the other day, and, you know, Jeff, you just mentioned it. You said if you, you know, when you play RPGs, you want to make sure that you have like 2 hours or so to sit down and do it. Yeah. You know, on Tuesdays and Thursday mornings, I wake up at 6 o'clock in the morning and I go do personal training. Mm-hmm. Well, on Monday, Wednesday, Friday, I'm not going to fuck up my sleep schedule. So I still wake up at 6 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
Instead of going to, you know, do personal training, I'll take a shower, come downstairs, and I played Mass Effect. Mm-hmm. And I'll only play it for like 45 minutes to an hour, but that's it.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's enough for me. I get that time in and then I go. And I've noticed that that's what's happening to me. I still would be probably considered a hardcore gamer, but I'm playing the hardcore games in a more casual way.
Yeah, I was going to say, we don't have the hardcore tendencies we used to do. We're just playing the games targeted towards more hardcore gamers in a casual way. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, agree, for sure.
And that's fine. I think the real question is, you know, with this flood of casual games in the market, is it going to hurt the hardcore gaming experience?
I don't see it hurting the hardcore experience, because I think that the hardcore experience is always going to be there. Mm-hmm. on consoles like the 360 and the PS3.
Yep.
I just think that for things like the Wii, games like No More Heroes are going to be once a year, if that.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
That type of quote-unquote hardcore title for the Wii is not going to happen often. So, but I don't see it damaging the other two consoles. They're going to have plenty of hardcore games. I mean, look at this year for 2008 for the PS3 and 360. They both got tons of stuff coming out, and I really don't see that changing, because that market is still there, and people want those games.
Another way to look at it too is, if a casual game keeps going the way it is, and 360 and the PS3 stick to their type of games, that just means less shovelware on 360 and PS3, which I'll be the first one in line to be like, yeah. Keep it that way.
Yeah, no shit.
Keep the shovelware on the other systems to keep it away from 360 and PS3. It'll happen, but if casual's that big, chances are most of it's going to go that way.
Yeah, yeah, I don't see what Nintendo's doing is influencing, you know, Sony or Microsoft in any way. I think what's happening here is we're just kind of seeing more of a branch. Like movies, you know, we have different genres of movies, and it's, I don't want to say evolving, but, you know, it's changing the groups of gamers, as it were. So we are going to have that casual gamer squad. We are going to have the hardcore gamers. And if we can't rumble, that would be great. Or if we don't rumble, if we don't bring out the knives and the animosity and the hate, let's just get along, man.
It's almost like the music industry. It's like, you know what? Like, people like to make fun of people who only listen to mainstream music. That could be like the casual gamers now, and then the hardcore gamers are going to be the snobs and be like, oh, you're playing what? That's not a game kind of thing. That's probably the worst thing that will happen.
Yeah.
I'm happy for it. I mean, my dad bought a Wii and play Wii, like, when I go to visit my parents, and it's a blast. The fact that they play video games is awesome, and... You know, it's bringing a lot more, like, girlfriends, wives, fiancés, and stuff into gaming that would never do in the first place. And I got to say, my favorite game of the year last year, I didn't get this year, it was Rock Band, and that is, like, the epitome of a casual game.
Right.
And that's just, yeah. It's good stuff. Good things, I guess, overall. In the grand scheme of things, it's good.
I definitely don't see the casual market, the casual gaming market, being only for the casual gamer. I mean, hardcore gamers are going to buy into some of the casual games. Like, I mean,
Peggle.
The Rock Band is a perfect example.
There you go.
And Peggle. Yeah, and Peggle too.
I can't and expect anyone to like Peggle, but...
Apparently, Peggle has a colorblind mode.
Yes.
That makes me happy.
Jeff, we were talking about that. I was trying to figure out which game had a colorblind mode. It's Peggle.
Peggle?
Yes.
It's Peggle.
That makes me very happy. Listeners, I am partially colorblind, and it really sucks. Trust me.
So what can't you see? Just like certain colors, or you see shades of colors, or?
Well, one of the things that Jason and I talked about today was that the biggest problem for me is blue and purple. I cannot tell the difference between blue and purple unless the purple is more red than it is blue.
Okay.
I can't tell the difference, and apparently there is. You do have to tell the difference between blue and purple in the game.
Yeah, for sure.
And this in normal day-to-day life, this isn't a problem, but I tend to see in video games it is green and yellow.
How much would have that sucked back in the day if you had like a CGA screen on your PC? You can only display like four colors, and you like couldn't see two of them. That would suck.
Well, see, that's
sorry
the thing.
For making fun of your handicaps.
No, it's fine. Funny story, I actually tried to join the Marines when I was 18, and they only gave me two jobs that I could have chosen from. I could have either been a cook or a parts distributor.
Are you serious? Just because of that?
Yeah, and it was all because I was colorblind. So I was like, you know what?
Like, I wouldn't have let you have a gun for different reasons, but that's just unbelievable, because that doesn't seem like a big deal, really, because, I mean...
No, it's... I don't know. It's more of a pain in the ass than anything, and I mean, there's a lot of you know, casual-ish games that I want to play that I can't because of it. Like, and you know, the one that comes up to mind every time I talk about this, Super Puzzle Fighter 2 Turbo, because I can't tell the difference between the yellow and the green in that game, and they don't have like a way to change the colors or anything like that. It's like
or to even distinguish which ones are which. You know, in some games, you know, they have like a symbol on them.
Right. Puzzle Quest is a good example. Puzzle Quest, they have yellow and green. And I can actually tell that yellow and green most of the time. But, you know, besides that, it's got the symbols in it, too, which is a huge help.
Hmm.
So, well, this has changed directions in our topic.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Yeah, what else is new?
I don't know. Casual gaming, I don't think in any way is hurting the industry. It's only making it bigger and more popular.
Not yet.
Oh, absolutely. No, it's for all of us. I don't think it's gonna hurt ever. I mean, I really
don't.
I don't
think so either.
It's like Jason just said. There's room for everybody because just look at how profitable the industry is. It's like every year they're talking about, you know, it's a record year for video games, and I think that's going to continue. I don't think it's going anywhere, especially with the popularity of the Wii.
I do agree that we don't mix well together at all. You know, Jeff brings a good point. Like in MMOs, you know, the majority of people playing MMOs are hardcore gamers. And, you know, when WoW kind of, you know, changed the experience requirements for various levels, it brought a lot more people back into the game. And you're probably right. There were some hardcore players that were resentful or didn't want to intermingle with the casual gamers.
I wouldn't call them hardcore gamers. I would call them hardcore WoW players.
Yeah,
like, I know
true.
A few people who just play
WoW.
Yeah.
That's sad.
Yes, it
Why do people work full-time jobs after their full-time job just to...
Oh,
I don't understand it.
Because they eat their fat loot.
Jason, fuck no that. Shit, man. When we went to happy hour today, I left before everybody else. So I sat down and I was just chilling out with my beer and I was, you know, messing with my phone waiting for the others to get there. And the table behind me, I heard the guy talking about WoW. And I, as soon as he said that, that's my, I kind of like tuned in, you know, and he's like, man, I was so tired. I didn't even want to play WoW. I'm like, are you fucking serious, man? Come on. Tear yourself away from the game. It's not, it's just a game.
Something Promise. I can't. Well, no, yeah, it's not a game. It's not when you're, because you're putting full-time work into this.
Yeah, you're right. WoW is more of a lifestyle right now.
Yeah. To a lot of people. I mean, to me, it's still fun. I can pick it up every now and again, and I still have a good time with it. But, I mean, it's such a time sink. And some people, seriously, they will sit down every night, and they have scheduled times, you know, when they raid. And that doesn't sound like a game to me.
They actually they made fun of it on – have you ever heard of the show – what?
Are we going off another tangent here? Or?
No, this is related to WoW. Have you ever heard of the show How I Met Your Mother?
Yeah, I've heard of that.
No, okay, I'm just going to leave that one alone. Go ahead.
No, okay. I will tell you the reason I watch this show every once in a while. It's got my number one on my top five on there, and that's all you need to know. Allison Hannigan is my number one. There you go.
Okay, what the fuck does this have to do with anything?
No, well, they had one of the characters was, I forgot which one it was, but brought this chick to the bar. And, you know, the bitch was crazy. I mean, just flat out crazy. And you know, they start talking about how they met and come to find out they met online. And after all is said and done, the chick gets up and walks out and she goes, "And the next time you're on World of Warcraft, don't even think about sending me a message." And they all look at him and like, "You met her on World of Warcraft?" That's fine. He's like, "Yes." And then they had like this little sequence where... it has like two WoW characters talking to each other with chat boxes, and it's like a Tauren and a Night Elf or a Blood Elf chick or something like that. And it's like, "What's your name?" And the chick's name was him. They were switching places. It was but
well, that's pure comedy right there.
Just not the way I said it.
Just had to be there. So I guess we're pretty much all on the same page. We think it's in the good of all gaming. It's good. It's not a bad thing.
For the most part,
scheme of things.
I am afraid a little bit that the Wii's casual market is going to draw some attention away from hardcore, but I don't think it's going to be enough to make a huge impact on the hardcore gamers.
Yeah, I don't think they're stealing audiences at all. Like, I don't think they're going to steal anyone, per se, that would play a hardcore game to whatever. If anything, I think it's like the gateway drug of video gaming. If anything, the Wii will get people into video gaming and have them convert over to more hardcore games, if anything. Yeah. You know?
I'm probably going to piss some people off by saying that I wish the hardcoreness would kind of scale back a little bit, because I don't have a lot of time during the day. And I like to be able to... I would love to be able to play an RPG and finish it in 2 months.
That's why, like, we said before, like, we don't mind those games that are only, like, you know, 8 to 12 hours long. That's, like, perfect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we mentioned on the last show, actually.
The shitty thing is that the people that bitch about it, you know, are the people that have way too much time on their hands. And they're the most vocal about it. And, you know, I think they're influencing a little more than, you know... I don't think everybody has 20, 30 hours a week to spend playing video games.
No, not at all.
So... I don't know.
I don't. Not anymore.
I miss the good old days.
Well, cool. All right. Well, did we get any more emails on that?
Not on that, no.
All right, cool. Well, thank you guys for sending your emails. But let's move on. New releases for next week.
Ooh, cool.
Yeah, more shovelware. It's wonderful.
Casual games for the win.
That's right. Since we were just talking about the shovelware, let's start with the Wii. Go Diego, go Safari Rescue. Hot damn!
Swiper, no swiping.
Is Diego the dude dating Dora?
I don't know.
Aren't they siblings?
I mean, are they? Well, that makes it even more kinky. Hey, incest is best.
If you can't keep it in your pants, keep it in the family.
Oh man. Moving on, winter sports. It's very descriptive. This game reminds me of like the old games on NES, like ice hockey.
That was awesome.
Yeah, I know.
Fuck you. Fat ice hockey dudes, was awesome. Skinny dudes,
and no, yeah. Dude, I'm not saying ice hockey wasn't awesome. I'm just saying okay. This reminds me of that.
Chris, don't offend right. us, man.
Yeah.
I'm kidding.
Interactive Distractions is looking for two new people because they quit. The host pissed them off, and now they're gone. See, I know you guys.
Christopher
Riccio
revealed himself to be a hater of the game ice hockey.
That's right.
And we will not be coming back until a formal apology is made.
It's almost as bad as saying you don't like Zelda.
Game sucks. No, I'm just kidding. Totally kidding.
I like the skinny guy. He was
awesome. Not a chubby chaser?
Shit.
Well, I know you guys are getting
We're
this
going
one.
Whale spearing tonight, boys.
Take one for the team. That whole last call hookup. Sorry.
Why don't you guys just let me know when you're done?
Yeah, I think we're done.
I'm good.
Balloon pop.
If that wasn't a good transition, I don't know what was.
It's coming out next week for the Wii.
Oh, it's
Balloon
awesome.
Pop. I know you guys are both getting it.
Oh shit.
Jumper. Okay. 103. Laugh attack.
Ouch.
No, no, dude, you gotta keep these in, man. These are hilarious. You're not editing any of this. I'm serious, dude. This is jokes.
No,
if
Jumper,
no one else laughs, at least we will.
This is true to
Jumper
life, yeah.
is a movie that's coming out, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Jumper, yeah. With,
that's what Jumper's
Anakin.
About.
Little Vader.
But I don't know if Jumper's gonna be as good as Balloon Pop, so.
Next on the release list, Free Willy 4.
London Taxi Rush Hour.
Yeah, see,
I'm like, is that like that. Crazy Taxi Wannabe or something? I don't know.
I sense no innuendo. Move on.
Moving on. Yeah. DS. Professor Layton and the Curious Village. I don't. I'm
that
not
looks
curious.
Kind
of
good,
that.
Actually.
Does it?
I like the art style.
Dungeon Explorer: Warriors of the Ancient Arts. And I'm a big fan of dungeon crawlers, so I may pick up that box and look at the back and then put it back down. Let's see. 360. Conflict Denied Ops. Dark Messiah of Might and Magic.
That's
Jumper.
Funny.
Yeah, it looks Jumper. Like it. Jumper and Lost Odyssey.
I'm still torn between that one. Definitely going to rent it. I'm definitely going to rent it. The only thing scaring me off is the load times, man.
Yeah.
It's the only thing.
I wish I remember the site that did it, but there's a site that does like this little first 10 minutes of games, like videos, they did like, they got the Japanese version of Lost Odyssey and they did literally like the first hour, and I'm telling you, man, the load times were, even though they were disguised and they were disguised pretty well, it was still like anywhere between 5 and 10 seconds to get into a battle.
Yeah,
that just, it drives me, I don't know, it just scares me.
I've heard a lot of the problems with the early Japanese builds have been fixed, but I'm waiting for official word. So.
Yeah, me too. I don't want 10-second load times between battles.
That would kill me.
No.
Yeah.
Especially random battles, like, you can't see it coming.
Right. PS3, Conflict Denied Ops.
Mm-hmm.
PS2... Dora the Explorer. Dora Saves the Mermaids.
There we go. There she is.
Why
do they give Swiper shit, man? I don't get it. That's his name. That's what he does.
Huh?
They always tell him Swiper, no swiping.
What?
Don't tell me you've never seen
Dora
the
Explorer. What are you talking about?
I have never seen Dora the Explorer.
My ass. You've seen the backpacks and the lunchbox.
I've seen the show.
I've never watched the show.
How do you not get influenced by that little bit of pop culture?
Dude, when I watch some of the kids, like, I mean, when I've seen clips of, like, the kids' shows, like, that are on these days, they would scare the living shit out of me if I was a kid. Whatever happened to G.I. Joe and Transformers and fucking Sesame Street?
Well, they do. They still have Transformers. It just sucks now.
Yeah.
Since when did we lump G.I. Joe in with Sesame Street?
I don't know. It must have some kind of educational value.
What about the Muppets? Jason,
yeah, they're
Jason
cool.
Liked the Muppets.
I like the Muppets.
I still love the Muppets.
I know. I was able to tell from the introduction of episode 11.
Oh, yeah. It was like 3 a.m., dude.
That was awesome, dude. I laughed my ass off. I was sitting at work and everyone was looking at me like I was nuts.
I'm like, what? What? Oh, yeah, that's right.
Also on PS2 is Jumper. Let's see. PSP, Chessmaster, Dungeon Explorer, Warrior of the Ancient Arts, and Wipeout Pulse.
Yes.
Yeah.
So there are two really good games on this entire list of stuff.
Wipeout.
Lost Odyssey and Wipeout Pulse. Well, yep. We're hoping Lost Odyssey anyway.
Yeah. Well, it's getting good reviews, so. Well, it's getting decent.
It's a step above
I'm seeing
Dora,
eights.
I'm, sure.
I'm seeing a lot of eights, so yeah. That's good. But, you know, it's never going to compare to the ratings that Balloon Pop gets.
Oh, God, no.
See, I was actually excited for Lost Odyssey because there seemed like a lot less male midriff. And, I like that.
Yeah, well, I think they're going for the wannabe Final Fantasy, right? So.
Well, no, I'm just saying that there's less midriff. As
oh, less, sorry. Recent, I said, and I was like, first of all,
considerably less male midriff.
Okay.
It's the male belly buttons that have kind of steered me away from Final Fantasy.
Final Fantasy. Years. You didn't think Vaughn was sexy? Come on.
Yeah.
Next. Jason, did we get any other emails this week?
We did. Do you want to hear them?
Yeah, sure. Why not?
We got a semi-anonymous one. I think they're very good, Chris. I think this is the best round of emails yet.
Wow. All right.
I know. I'm making that up. But... This one seems a little, I don't know, this is kind of a troll or something, but...
Yeah, give it to us.
This person writes, Americans going outside is at the lowest in the history of this nation. The reasons for this are Americans are spending more time in the electronic environment. Americans would rather go to the movies, play video games, and surf the internet than go outside. Seems to me you guys are a big reason Americans are getting fat and lazy. Your gaming reviews and engaging commentary keeps people from getting up and going outside. In the future, history will look back and pinpoint this website as one of the most damaging influences to our American society.
Nice.
Your children's children will have to pay the price for your actions today. Signed, an active outdoors person.
Well, I'm glad this active outdoors person took the time to find our website, find out who we were, and then email us on their non-electronic PC. To give a shit. Kudos.
This person also sent it from his work address, which was fully visible to us, so it was really no surprise. Gentleman we work with, actually, and he was trying to be a
sarcastic ass. Fuck, I thought we actually got a little part of...
No, it wasn't
I know.
Damn it, I got all excited and shit. I was like, sweet.
No, the point was because he kept asking us what the website was for our podcast, and we were like, well, you know, it's interactivedistractions.com, but it's a gaming, you know, it's a gaming podcast. Yeah. You know, you're going to be bored. And apparently the conversation was compelling enough to the point where he wanted to email us about it. So, I don't know, whatever,
he gets to ask me what the email was and stuff. I got to hand it to John, though, you know, that he actually took an interest in it, because it definitely isn't anything that's up his alley.
Right.
He's trying to be hip and cool and stuff. And, like, he bought a Wii this past Christmas. I don't know how the hell he got a hold of one, but he got one.
He got
one. And
off
his
eBay.
Wife said, no, sweetie, it's too extravagant. So he's trying to sell it now.
Oh.
But he tries to stay on top of stuff. Like, he just bought... I think this is hilarious because he was like, he bought an iPod Touch for his wife.
Yeah,
and I'm
she
like
loved
thinking
it.
To myself, she's not going to want this damn thing. And yeah, I asked him about it today. If she, if, yeah, exactly. So he's like, yeah, she said it was a little too much for her, so she's using my old iPod. And yeah, I'm using this one now. And I'm like, very Ooh. Smart.
Score.
You figure it out, Forrester.
Good plan. Good plan.
But that was cool that he emailed us. Yeah. Thank you.
Yes, thank you.
Even though it was a bunch of bullshit.
It's good to get the casual emails in there.
Yeah. Got another one from a gentleman named Stoffinator.
Ah,
I think I recognize that name from VG Evo.
VG Evo.
Yep. Anyway, he writes, hey, interactive
he instructions. He loves Microsoft, by the way. Looking to put that out there. Endorse them to the upteenth degree. Anyway, go on.
You guys probably know me from the VG Evo chat boxes, Stoffinator. I learned about your show from there and started listening to them yesterday and really enjoy them. It's hard to find a podcast that doesn't lean to one side of a console than the others, and you guys balance it nicely. Just wanted to let you guys know to keep up the great work, and you've gained another listener. Smiley cool. face.
I give him respect, man. He just found out about us yesterday, and he's already listened to quite a few of our episodes. So
actually, I think that's he's listened to just about all of them.
He is really, yeah. No, he seriously has. Like, I remember he was on there when me and Chris were on there, and he's like, he's never heard of us. And then we told him about it, and then he's like, oh, I'm on, like, episode whatever right now. Like, that's pretty awesome. That's kind of, you know, makes you feel all good and warm and fuzzy inside.
And a little creeped out. That's kind of scary.
Yeah, he's listened to, I think he said that his RSS.
Very flattered.
I think he said that the RSS feed only let him go back as far as, like, episode 3 for some reason.
It's probably good.
No. That's but awesome. He said he listened to all of them up to 11, and he skipped the Mass Effect one.
Which makes sense.
Well, good. So he paid attention to the disclaimer.
Yeah, all three times that we said it.
Just stop.
No, we mean it.
All right, we have, well, not one last one, but one major one. From Tears of Ash, he writes, what's your take on the evolution of modern RPGs from turn-based to the more action-oriented style? Also games that are, in quotes, fantasy action games that just get an RPG stamped on its forehead like Oblivion or perhaps Folklore. Where's the roleplay gone?
Yeah. Well, I don't know how we can put Oblivion in there because there's a ton of RPG elements in Oblivion. It's basically driven by RPG elements. He did say Oblivion, right? Or am I hearing things?
He did say Oblivion, yes.
Okay, good. Because yeah, you guys are solid, I'm like, fuck. But Folklore, I wouldn't even label Folklore as an RPG at all.
No, I wouldn't either. Others do, but I mean, in reality, all that ever levels up is, I mean, you go up ranks, and the only thing that goes up is like your total health, and that's it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I wouldn't.
So,
that's kind of like the unfortunate stereotype with, like, you know, console RPGs is that anything that has to do with like a fantasy element and you can like upgrade your armor automatically gets labeled as an RPG.
Yeah,
and you know, he's trying to make the distinction between like turn-based stuff, like old Final Fantasy, to more fantasy action games, like as you said, Oblivion
I guess so, yeah, so
maybe
yeah, okay.
Diablo 2. You know,
so like combat-wise, I guess like even Mass Effect is
Mass Effect is more of action-oriented. But I think that you know we're seeing a mix of both, and the basic menu-driven combat in RPGs is mostly gone. I mean, there's still a few out there that do it and do it well, like, you know, Lost Odyssey's coming out this week, and, you know, it, you know, besides, hopefully the load times won't be that bad, because the game does look really good. Mm-hmm. And then you got, figure Dragon Quest is always going to be the same as what it is now. Mm-hmm. But then you look at the games that are evolving, like Final Fantasy. Final mm-hmm. Fantasy has moved to, like with 12, it moved to a more, it's not really action-oriented, but it's a lot more, I don't even know how to...
It kind of took the same, like Knights of the Old Republic. It's more like that.
Yeah.
It's like, it can be turn-based if you want it to be, but you can also play it more like, MMO-style, basically.
Yeah, pretty much. And then there is Mass Effect, which is purely action-driven, pretty much. Mm-hmm. And I mean, you get to make decisions on what your characters are doing, but... Yeah, for the most part, it's an action RPG.
Mm-hmm. And you can just pause the action and still go back to your familiar menu system and issue commands that way.
Yep.
So it's a good blend of both. I actually, I hate to admit it, but I prefer the more action-oriented style.
Me too.
Rogue Galaxy is a good example of this. That was like a, you know, the stepchild of, you know, the more traditional turn-based stuff, because you still had your your menus on the inside that you could pause and quick select something.
Yeah.
But it was more action-based.
Yeah, definitely. Rogue Galaxy was a phenomenal game. And I think it was something a lot of people slept on, but from an RPG standpoint, you're right. It did do a perfect blend of the action RPG as well as the menu-driven, because you could always pull up the menu. Mm-hmm. And then even when you were just doing it full straight-on action, you still had the ability to tell your companions what to do, because they would actually call out your name and say, "What should I do?" And you would get to select which option you wanted them to do. They would say, "Do you want me to heal, or do you want me to attack?" And, you know, or use the spell to attack. And you got to choose that way. So, you know, I think it's evolving, and we're seeing. I personally like both. You know, I love the menu driven stuff, and I love the action stuff. But, you know, I really don't think it's going to be damaging or to either one of them. I think they're both going to thrive on their own, and, you know, more people are going to be interested in RPGs because that there are people out there that don't like the menu system.
Well, I'm just hoping for a new label, actually. I think the term RPG was never correct in the first place, because you're not really role-playing. You know,
the question is,
you know, where's the role-play gone? It was never really here.
Right, I agree.
So, yeah, I'd like to have a definite label for, you know, more turn-based stuff or more action-oriented. So, because like I said, anything that comes out with that's fantasy based, then you get to change your equipment. Somehow, automatically a role playing game. I don't get that.
Yeah, and then either that or they say it has role playing elements in it,
right?
And that kind of stuff.
It's like, what the fuck's that supposed to be?
I mean, I think honestly, I think Mass Effect is probably the closest thing ever on a console to actually being a role playing game, just because you get to, you know, decide what quests you're going to do, and you get to choose what you're going to say, and that kind of thing.
Yeah, it's completely open-ended, especially in the dialogue, and that's what sets it apart, is because you're actually playing this role. You're making the decisions of, you know, your character interactions.
Right.
So, yeah, you're very good point.
Cool. Good email. Thank you.
Yes. That's my favorite email ever.
Until the next one.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's it for emails. Oh, wait. No, we do have one more from Ravenblade. Ravenblade writes,
I was gonna say,
Red Dwarf, blah, 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 Red Dwarf quote, blah, blah, Red Dwarf rules. The end. He also added, P.S., I would like this to be the Red Dwarf show. Starring Red Dwarf. No, he wrote us another email with, like, four paragraphs full of, like, Red Dwarf stuff.
So. All right.
Ravenblade, like, I'm sorry, this is a video game show. I know it's funny. We gotta let it go. Or make your own damn podcast.
I don't get it.
Anyway.
I'm serious, you guys want to fill me in?
I don't know, I've never seen Red Dwarf, so, I mean, I'll be honest. But the email we got from Ravenblade was, it was a multiple choice question, and the multiple choice, all the choices had, like, Red Dwarf quotes in them, apparently. So.
It was all, like, one long skit, and at the end he wrote, Red Dwarf rules.
Yeah.
Or Doyle rules. I mean, you know what this comes from, is the whole Smeghead thing. It's the inside joke we got going.
Yeah.
Kind of inside. So, he's playing it up.
I see. I'll speak English next time, for one. Two, I promise, next time he makes a Red Dwarf reference, Ravenblade, mm-hmm. I'll laugh.
Okay. So, whether or not he gets it, he'll just laugh.
So should we let them in on what the next week's question of the week is?
No.
Absolutely.
Oh, okay.
No?
Yeah, no, let's do it. That's fine. I get, you know, democracy. Let's do it.
What were we doing again, Chris?
Tell us what your favorite gaming memory is.
Ah, yes.
And it doesn't necessarily have to be, like, a memory from a game, just having to do with gaming. And I know Nabo has already sent us his, and this is a good reason to have this, but I think Nabo's is going to send us a voice version of the story. So hopefully we'll be able to get that on the show next week.
I hope so. That would be hilarious.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm going to have to sit down and think about this one, because I probably have a few. But, yeah. So tell us your favorite gaming memory, and we'll talk about that next week. And hopefully you guys will. And send us Send us voicemails. Hold on, let me get that voicemail number again. So you can send us an email.
Sorry.
You can send us an email, as always, at email@interactivedistractions.com, or you can try out our new voicemail line, which is 818-528-GAME. 818-528-4263. Or you can leave us a message on Skype, and it's Interactive Distractions, one word. So there you go.
Cool.
Booyah.
Several ways to contact us.
That is correct. Mm-hmm. And please send us some voice messages. We really like them. And we didn't get any this week, and we were all
disappointed. We worked so hard on the answering machine greeting. Please call.
Well, cool. Well, you guys got anything else before we wrap up?
Nah.
I got one thing, actually. Do you remember how, you know, we were talking about the whole golden ticket and Devil May Cry?
Yeah. That's right.
I did. Did you get a golden ticket? About it. So I opened up my collector's edition. I'm leafing through the, you know, the instruction book, and all of a sudden I came across like a handwritten signature of like the creator, and I thought back for a brief moment. I'm like, holy fucking shit, I won! And then I recalled that you needed a golden ticket. It was just printed in there. It just, I got excited for no reason.
I don't know if it was actually a
golden ticket. I, you know, it just said that there were going to be 100 copies that were signed by the producer.
Maybe I don't know. Winning one.
You might actually have one.
What page was it on? I'm going to check out my my edition after this.
Right away in the beginning.
Really?
Hmm.
Yeah. Huh, maybe you did.
Yeah. We'll check that out.
I didn't win any. I never win.
And there's only 100 copies, and you know, so you know Jason couldn't have won one.
No.
And if you did, play the damn lottery.
That's all. That's my funny story for the week. Let's all laugh at Jason for thinking he's the winner.
Pointing and laughing as we speak.
Cool. Well, listeners, thank you very much for joining us, and remember to send in your emails or voice messages on our voicemail line. And my name is Chris Riccio, and for Jason A. Stryker and Jeff Chorney, thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you next week.
Take it easy.
Side. Those of you that are wondering why there's 5 minutes left on this recording when the show is already over, well, here's a little treat for you. Hopefully it'll be just as entertaining to you as it was to us. All right, well, you guys, why don't we take a break? Sure. Then we'll come back afterwards.
Let's do it.
And stay tuned afterwards. We're going to come back with Jeff has a Dear X letter that he's going to share with us. Then we've got our feature, which is casual gaming on an upswing.
Hmm.
Follow that up with new releases, user email, and the question of the week, which we are now integrating into the feature. And you got our full episode. So, wow, that really sucked.
Well, I'm going to go order my PSP dev kit, guys. So.
I'm going to cut that out.
Yeah. Go for it.
Totally going to cut that out.
That's not even one of those, like, well, you can keep it if you want, Chris.
No,
Chris, dude.
No. Totally just cutting that out. Fuck that shit. Let's try that again.
All right.
Chris, welcome back.
You there?
Thank you, Jason.
I'm sorry. It was a prolonged silence. I was getting worried. I don't know if you had a heart attack or if you fell asleep or. I was just worried about you, Chris.
Blooper show.
All right, cool. Well, thank you guys for sending your emails. But let's move on.
Can we take a quick break? That's a perfect time for me to interject here. I really, really have to pee. I knew I should have went on my break. I'm like, you know what? I don't have to go on my break. I think I'll be fine.
Didn't we talk about the Depends, Jeff?
We did. We did.
But, an empty bottle, perhaps?
I would. I mean, that would look weird, though.
Mason jar or something?
I'm just going to bring a portable toilet downstairs. Sit on that the entire time.
All right, guys, 5720, like, Jeff Pease.
I'll be 2 seconds.
Pease. 2 seconds. I'll be right back to you.
Yeah. Cool. Well, Jason, you not Jason, Jeff.
Hi.
I know it's easy to get us confused.
It's that whole just sound, you know?
Yeah, you know.
It's that whole just sound.
That whole we both have dude name just totally fucks you up. You can now call me Susan. Does that make it easier for you, Chris? Don't seriously do that, though.
Okay,
deep breath. Deep breath. Okay.
Ah, shit.
Water. It's good.
Hi, Nerys. Yes, I'm okay. It's okay. My dog is concerned about me because I'm making weird noises now. All right, so what? I need to cut that out.
That's funny shit.
Susan, you have a dear.
Well, actually, I do, Christine. You want to go? You want me to take over? You want me to put on the pants? I've been watching my figure, guys. Some slim pants.
Please shut up. All right, let me regain my composure. What little there is left.